We're talking about transformation, and right now, the idea of inner healing within transformation. When I say inner healing, it means that there's a brokenness that I'm dealing with. I don't know where it came from, but it pushes me or pulls me against what the Word of God says, who I am. And most people live their whole life in the natural, running around the brokenness of their natural soul. Now, if you've been listening to the Transformation series, I've been doing my best to describe what the body is. When you were first born, the moment you were born into this earth, you came from the seed of Adam, which meant you were a copy of Adam, basically. And Adam had an inner body and an outward body. He was designed by God, and it was called one body, but it was connected to both realms. And that body, the spiritual body, and the outward body is where the soul is contained. And that's what we call soul, is as far as the mind, the emotions, and the desires, was also connected to both realms. And both of them were all one, the body, the soul, and the spirit. Now, the day you got born again, everything changed. Before you were saved, you were completely in darkness. Your body was connected to both realms, the spiritual realm and the natural realm. Do you ever wonder why you see sometimes some of these people in our culture, in America and Canada, North America, I guess, we don't give much credence to some of the demonic worshipers and the people who talk to the dead kind of thing. Witchcraft and that is kind of in the background, but we just dismiss it. But in other cultures, they really see it. They see the effects of dark magic and dark things, and they can see like voodoo and that. When I was in Haiti, there was a lot of respect in the villages for the voodoo doctor because he had done some things that they were shocked of him. And so if you look into some of the things where they talk to the dead, they're not talking to dead people. They're talking to demons. But you'll find that there is an actual spiritual connection that unsaved people can have, whether it's through witchcraft or Satanism or voodoo or all the other so many practices, where there is a spiritual world that they learn to connect to. Well, it's because they have a spiritual body, just like you do. But their spiritual body is still dark. So their body is connected to both the natural and the spiritual. And in the world, some people learn how to, have learned how to tap into the spiritual man. But their nature's dark, so their inner man is dark as well. Well, when you got born again, you had a body that was connected to both realms, because that was Adam's design. You had a spiritual body. You've always had a spiritual body, whether you learned to recognize it or not. And in that body, your soul, the mind, emotions, and desires, is connected to both realms through that body, which is connected to both realms. But when you were born again and you asked Jesus in your heart, at that moment, you received the new nature. The new nature was made quickened. Your old nature went from darkness to light. Now, I like to say, just for imagery's sake, that you know God took out the old nature and threw it away and gave you a new nature, or buried it after you died and gave you a new nature. But technically, he actually took the old nature and quickened it. Quickened it means it's an old King James word, which means he took something dark and made it light. He took something of sin and made it righteous. He took your nature of darkness and made it a new nature of light. And that new nature also quickened or brought to life your inner body. So now you have an inner body and an outward body that are still connected. They're still one, but they're connected, but they're torn because the inner body is now light and the outward body is left dark. It wasn't rescued. Your outward body was left in darkness. And that's why there's a struggle that's so inside of you that sometimes it's hard to tell what is you, what is your inner man, what is the outward man? What part of you is telling you this is the way to go? Well, when we look at the soul, the definition of the soul can be mind, emotions, and desires. And so much of the Christian world is trying to fix their natural part of their soul. Well, it's connected to the spiritual side too, the inner body. But the inner body, you have access to all of God, all of God's love, peace, joy. All of His thoughts and wisdom can go inside of that inner spiritual body because it has been quickened and is righteous because the nature inside made it righteous. It became righteous. In this body, you'll have the rest of eternity. A billion years from now, when we're on the new earth, you'll still have that inner body and it will be the same as it is today. But you'll have more truth in it, more love in it, more love of God in it, more peace of God in it. But it's as righteous then as it is right now. You don't gain righteousness. You have righteousness. Well, your outward body, the outward part of that soul, was left in darkness. So not only is the body, the inner man brought to life, and the outward body left in darkness, now your soul, mind, emotions, and desires, which is connected to both bodies, the inner man's part of the soul is light, but it needs to grow. While the outward part of your soul, mind or intellect and emotions, was left in darkness. It wasn't changed. And this is the struggle of Christianity, to overcome the natural man, the flesh, the outward body, to make it submit to the Word of God. So we're going to start here in Romans chapter 8, and I've been sharing the last few teachings on animals, how animals are carnal. They're made of meat, bones, and fur. And there's your animal that you love, a dog, a cat, a horse, a rabbit. My little daughter has a turtle, and you love those little creatures. And you see there's a little personality in there that they can love you back or appreciate you back. And there's emotions in those animals, but they're completely carnal. But yet you find in it an intellect, a wisdom, a communication. You find love, joy. You find hate, anger. I remember we came home one day from being out, and our little dog had sniffed out a Christmas present that we had on a tree that someone gave us, and it was full of chocolate. Sniffed it out, broke into it, and there was little chocolate wrappers all over the living room. And our poor puppy dog knew he was in trouble, or she was in trouble. She had her tail tucked between her legs. She was hiding behind the couch, but she was so stimulated by the chocolate and the caffeine in the chocolate, she was bouncing around uncontrollably, but trying to hide because she knew she was in trouble. She did something wrong. The animals know when they do something wrong, when they're trying to get away with something. They're sneaky. And they remind me of me. And they remind me of people. That people have that same soul carnality that you can see in an animal. That personality, the same emotions, all of that you see is in an animal. And that animal is carnal. Is completely made of material from this earth. Of meat and bone and fur, but yet there's all those emotions because those emotions are from the natural soul of that animal and they're chemically based emotions. And what happens to us as we grow in life and mature is we go through situations and problems and our natural soul starts to build personality traits, but it builds strongholds to try to help you not to struggle, not to fail again or be hurt or wounded again. And that's a stronghold. It's a fortress that's in you. And the job of when you pray in tongues, when you worship God, is it begins to, you allow the Holy Spirit to help you to show you that stronghold, to pinpoint that stronghold so you can tear it down and mortify it. Now, a language we use in church is you need healing in your heart. You need to be touched. God needs to touch you in your heart. You need healing in your heart. And we call it inner healing. And there's some practices which is a little bit okay, and I don't want to, anything that helps anyone keep going, I'm for it. You know, there's days I wear glasses when I'm driving, and I'm helping myself to be able to drive and not crash the car. Any kind of help to keep you going is good. So I'm not trying to, I don't want to belittle anything that anyone does that encourages you to keep going in God. Anything that anyone does to encourage you to not give up and to continue pressing into God, I approve. I think it's great. It's helpful. But we also want to say there is a finish line that we can pass that is beyond just helping. So if you need a hug because you're lonely and you fight with that loneliness, go get a hug, but don't live there. Don't just live on hugs because you become addicted to the hugs and you never get beyond that. Go use the hug to keep you encouraged and then go into God and get victory over that area. And that's a stronghold that tells you you're lonely. And it, you can have someone who's lonely and they can be in the middle of a million people having fun around them and they're still lonely because the loneliness is a stronghold within them. And that stronghold is a fortress in their natural man. Just like my dogs and people's cats have personalities. I think cats have personalities. I'm not sure. But even horses, it's amazing. I have friends who love horses and their horses, a horse is a horse to me, but their horses have personalities. There's nice horses. There's mean horses. There's feisty horses. There's stubborn horses. There's compliant horses. They have little personalities in them, just like people. That's the carnal creature made of meat, bone, and hide. And yet you are wearing a carnal creature on your back now that you're born again that's left over from the old man. The nature is gone, but the results of it is this flesh, this body, still has the personality and the desires that it had before I was saved. The strongholds are still there, but now I have a chance to destroy those strongholds and make my outer man bow its knee to the truth of God in me. Too much of the church world today is about ministering and appeasing the flesh, appeasing the outward man. And really, we're supposed to mortify the outward man. We're supposed to find the brokenness and then mortify it. Mortify means to kill it. You kill the root of what was left over from the natural man. And so when I say inner healing, I'm really talking about the full spectrum, which means it may start where you just need hugs. You need someone to love on you to tell you, hey, you're worth it. And God wants me to tell you, you're worth it. If he has to spend all of his resources just to allow you to love on you, to get you to heaven, he'll do it because you're worth it. That's the start. And then as you go through and find that it's the flesh, the outward man doesn't give up easily. And those strongholds are called strongholds for a reason. They're fortresses. And breaking them down isn't always easy. How many prayer lines have I as a preacher prayed for people who come and say, I just need you to pray for me. I don't want to do this anymore. And you pray God's blessing, God's grace. You pray the power of God and pray that you made it help. You encourage them to not give up. And if they fail, to go back to the mercy seat of Christ and to keep trying. But there's a whole gospel, false gospel preaching. Don't even try to change. Just God loves you the way you are. And that group of people is gotten so frustrated trying to overcome their strongholds. They found someone to tell them, don't even try to get rid of your strongholds. Just be loved. Listen, anything that helps you to keep going and get you to heaven, it's good stuff. But the best stuff is that there's a pathway to not just live in the mercy of God over and over and to live by the receiving help from people over and over and over. There's a message called transformation that says there's a pathway into God where you will destroy that stronghold that tells you you need to act a certain way, you need a certain sin or a certain pride or a certain thing to be a certain way. One guy I was talking to said, you know, I know that the gospel of being a businessman is to give your money to the gospel to go forward. That's a calling in the Bible. It's called the helps. The ministry of helps is actually the call, a call to the businessman to make their life about making money from the world and bring it into the gospel. That's the focus, the calling of their life. He said, but I fight because I want like three houses and I want a nice boat and a nice cars. And as we were talking, I began to describe the inner man and the outer man and just let him know, like, I don't think it's that you're greedy, that you want that. I said, I think it's that there's something, a stronghold in your natural part of your soul that says that those things, a nice house, or two or three houses, a bunch of nice cars, a boat, a plane, that they are an offering to the brokenness to make that brokenness satisfied. It's like hunger. When you feel hungry, that's a voice of your flesh, your outer man, to you that says, feed me. Well, the natural soul has hunger that says, feed me, and it's from the brokenness, the strongholds. So for him, I you know, it could be as simple as he feels no one respects him, and he wants respect. And I don't know. I'm not saying that was him, but for some people, they don't feel respect, and they want to be respected. So how do you get people to respect you? By having more stuff than them, by having more power, more money, more position. And so it's not that they're greedy for the position, but that position will help feed the hunger of their broken natural soul. And they live their life feeding that brokenness. And many people live their whole life feeding a brokenness that they had since their youth that's in the natural soul. And so when we look at animals, we can see that they're a carnal creature that has a soul of emotions, that emotions are chemically based. They're not real. Many times when you're walking in faith and God tells you to do something, and these emotions of fear and defeat come and hit you, and you feel like it's all over, that's chemical emotions. Like my dog, that's the animal of my flesh, the body, and it's my job to mortify that animal and to say, you don't tell me who I am anymore. That's me telling Alan, you don't get to tell me anymore, meathead, who I am. I don't care. I remember all the insecurities I had and fear of people and fear of speaking in front of people in my youth that I had to overcome, and God had me overcome them. And I spent a lot of years feeding my brokenness in my natural man, in the natural part of my soul, using God and the works in the name of God. But actually, it was actually an offering to my natural man, the brokenness, the stronghold in me. And thank God for praying in tongues, because you pray in tongues, your inner man builds up, and then God shows you the root, and you begin to hate it so much that you decide, I'm going to kill it. Now, can you stop it right away the moment you're saved? Yes, you can stop sinning, but much of these strongholds, you don't even know what they are or where they came from. And God may never tell you where they came from, but He knows exactly how to get you there. And that's why we build ourselves up in prayer. Romans 8. We'll start over here in verse 9. Romans 8, verse 9. Inner healing it feels like you're healed because, hey, I don't have that problem anymore. I used to, you know, when someone came around, I get jealous, and now I'm not jealous. Wow, I'm changing. No, it's such a bigger miracle than changing. It's even bigger. Than a healing? It feels like a healing, but it's not that God's trying to heal your outward man. He's not trying to heal the flesh, because He's going to replace that outward man eventually with a new body. So He's not trying to fix up the outward man. He's trying to get you through your inner man. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, to build up the inner man, to mortify the outward man. So inner healing is a solid term, but a better term would be outward mortification of my emotions. So verse 9, Romans chapter 8. But you are not in the flesh. That here the word flesh means old nature. You no longer have an old nature of sin. But in the Spirit, meaning you have a new nature. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he's not his. So it's basically saying in verse 9 that you need the new nature in you to be able to be born again. Otherwise, you're not of God. If you have the nature of flesh or the nature of sin in you, you're not of God. So no matter how good you are, no matter how religious you are, how you follow the Jewish law, unless you're born again, you're not of God. Now, verse 10 tells us about the inner body and the outward body. And if Christ is in you, Christ in you means the new nature. Raise your hand if you have the new nature and say, thank God I'm going to heaven. God's number one goal is to get you to heaven. His second goal is to get you to grow up, to mature, to transform, so you can be like Christ on the earth. But thank God we're going to heaven because we have the nature of Christ in us. Christ is in you. So if Christ is in you, if you have that new nature, Christ is in you, then it says the body is dead. So the outward body is dead. Now, it doesn't mean dead like not breathing, like a dead animal on the road. It means it's left in death. It was not brought to life like your inner man was. It was not brought to life like your new nature was. It was left in the condition that when you went to the altar and the strongholds were still there. Otherwise, someone can go to the altar, be born again, and every one of us, no matter what our condition, once we're saved, we'd be perfect. We'd be perfectly healed. We'd be perfectly whole. I used to be mean and angry. Now I'm sweet and love. Wow, this is amazing. I'm a new creature in Christ, and there's no more a struggle. See, the inward man was born again. The outward man was left dead, and that's why you have that struggle. The soul, mind, emotions, and desires now are still connected to both realms, the spiritual and the natural. But now the inner body and the inner part of your soul is light, and the outward part of your mind, emotions, and desires is darkness. And you've experienced that when God says to you, I want you to do something, and there's a scary, I want you to do something, and he pushes you, or he pulls you further into him, and you feel this peace on the inside. I've described it. Everyone I know has described it. I have a peace about it on the inside, but I have fear on the outside. Well, you just described the inner part of your soul and the outward part of your soul. How can you have, what is it, brother? What is it, sister? Do you have peace or do you have fear? Choose one. But the truth is you can have both, because the natural part of your soul is connected to the inner part of your soul. And the inner man says, yes, yes, my Father says we can do it. My Father will not leave me and abandon me. He is my Father. The inner man receives from his Father. The outward man says, oh man, we're going to die. It's not going to work. He's going to abandon us. Because the outward man, the outward part of your soul was left in darkness. It was left in the condition of death. And then it says here, and Christ is in you, you have the new nature, the body, the outward man, is dead because of sin. Because it's stained with the sin of the old man. But the spirit, this word spirit here means your inner body. He's comparing the inner body and the outward body. So the outward body is dead but of sin, but the inner body is alive, is life, because of righteousness. What that means is the new nature is righteousness, and it brought to life the inner man, the inner body. So now you have an inner body that is completely lit up by the new nature. It has been rebooted and reestablished as now, it was quickened from darkness to life. And it's new, but it's made because it came from the old you, but it was made new, it was quickened. So now you have an inner man that is alive and light, and the inner body is not just the fingers and toes, it's also the part of your soul, the spiritual side of your soul. They're still one, but they're still one. your soul, your mind is still one, but it's connected to both realms. So the inner body, which is now lit up, and the inner set of emotions, that's why when someone dies and goes to heaven, they still have emotions, because there's a set of emotions called the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, these are emotions, that you can grow in your inner man that are spiritual emotions. The spiritual part of your soul is emotions, but they're lit up by light. They're only godly emotions, and that can grow inside of you, but it won't automatically. That's why you got to pray and worship God, because that builds up the inner man, and then from there, you're able to mortify the outward man. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life or quicken your mortal bodies through His Spirit which dwells in you. And all that means is that when the trumpet sounds, because you have the new nature, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the outward body will be quickened like the new nature was and like your inner body was. And then you will fully, completely be whole, a whole creature, transformed completely into all that God is. And that's the miracle of salvation. He found you in a species of darkness, a dead species called the human race. And He had to create a new family called the children of God through Jesus being the firstborn. And then He found you, or you found Him, He found you. And then you received faith from Him to be born again, and you asked Him into your heart. And He somehow, by the miracle of salvation, is able to take you all the way from a species of darkness to when it's all said and done, after the trumpet sounds, and after our feet are on the new earth, I will be standing there. And I didn't stop existing during this whole process. So He didn't just fix me up, find me and fix me up and clean me up. They have pictures of guys who are homeless. And, you know, I have a lot of compassion for people who are homeless. I have some people I'm very close to in my life who struggle with that kind of hardship of their brokenness. And they'll clean them up, and you're amazed. Like, here's a guy, they clean him up, and they give him a shave and the shower and haircut, give him a suit and tie, and he looks great. He looks like a new man, you know, but the brokenness takes him back. God didn't find you and just give you a shave and a shower and clean you up. He found you, rebirthed you into His family, and then He is asking you to confront the outward body. He says, I'm sorry I had to leave you in the outward body, but when the trumpet sounds, you get a new outward body, a new outward part of your soul that will connect with your inner man. It'll be as righteous as Jesus Himself. So your inner man and your new nature is righteous and holy, while your outward body was left in darkness, the outward part of your soul, the carnal part that's like an animal, which is left in darkness. It wasn't rescued. When the trumpet sounds, it will be rescued. Then He says, verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, meaning the old nature. We're debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. That means if you live by the old nature, you didn't receive a new nature, you're going to die. If you live by the flesh, according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, if you live by the new nature, then it says this, if you live by the Spirit, but if by the Spirit you put to death, that word Spirit is the new nature. So if you live by the new nature, you'll put to death or mortify the deeds of the body. You will live. So the body has deeds. This is the outward part of your soul. This is the strongholds that you deal with and I deal with that try to tell us who we are. And it's very hard to really see the motivation of why we act the way we act. Someone could be talking and happy and fun, and then certain crowd walk in the room and they close up and they lock up. I used to have that problem where if I got around unknown people, I would stutter, couldn't talk, couldn't come up with a conversation. My brain would freeze, my thoughts would freeze, and God's had to help me through my life to overcome that. Well, that's a stronghold from somewhere, and as I keep praying in the Holy Ghost, He'll help to me to see that and eventually to mortify it. And thank God for the power of mortification, the power of transformation. We can be like Jesus, and we don't have to be limited by anything. So many people, they have given up on trying to deal with their flesh. They just say, okay, this is us. And it, you know, for some people, it's not going to send them to hell. But for some people, they give up on certain things, and it could take them away from God. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, if you have the new nature. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but talking about you didn't receive another nature of sin when you were born again. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, this is an interesting word. I struggle with the word adoption, because was I born of God or adopted? And see, the reason he uses adoption here is because he found you in the human race. You wouldn't have existed in this universe unless your parents created you. So God didn't create you. Your parents did. So that's why he uses the word adoption, because he's adopted you out of the family of Adam, but he birthed you into Christ. So you really are a child of God. You're not adopted, but because your existence, the person you are, the existence of you, it's such a miracle. He put his hand around you and protected you while he rebuilt your nature, rebuilt your inner body, and will rebuild your outward body. And then he didn't just, like I say, he didn't find me in a worm, Alan the worm, saying, I'm going to make you my child, Alan the worm, and I'm going to make you an eagle, a different species. Praise God. So, Alan the worm, how do you spell your name? A, is it one L or two L's? A L, is it E or A at the, it's an A L A N. Okay, got it. Okay, Alan the worm, I'll see you in the eagle nest. And then he squishes me and extinguishes me, and then goes and finds a eagle egg, says, ah, that's a good one. And he writes on it, I'm going to name you Alan. But it's a different person. It's a different creature. I stopped existing. That's not salvation. Salvation is he found a way to take me out of one species and protect me and rebuild everything around me, that I end up in a completely different species of children of God. How different is the children of God from the children of Adam? As different as darkness is from light. That's the difference of the species. That's the power of transformation. He's not asking us to clean up our life. He's asking us to transform into the child of God, that he started with a new nature and with an inner man that's righteous. But you got to build up the inner man and mortify the outward man. You make the outward man bow its knee to who God says you are. The outward soul bows its knee to the inner part of the soul. And eventually it's replaced with a new outward body. And that's what Romans 8 here is talking about. Spirit adoption, so verse 15, but you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So you've been adopted as far as your existence, but you were birthed of God. The Spirit himself, this is the Holy Spirit. This is the first mention of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. So now he begins to describe that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our new nature, with our inner man. And he begins to communicate and bear witness that we are children of God. And if children of God, then heirs. Now, here's some of the little things I want you to discover. Now, your inner man holds, your inner body holds the new nature. You have an inner body. You have a new nature. And inside of that inner body is the spiritual side of your soul, mind, emotions, and desires. So the inner man completely desires God. And everything the Holy Spirit communicates to you will confirm that you are a child of God, an heir. An heir means that you receive because you're family. So when God spoke to me to go into faith as far as our finances and not preach and not work, but just sit and pray and get to know Him, I thought I had faith until He exposed in me a brokenness in my natural man, a stronghold of unworthiness. And when He said, don't preach, don't work, don't go witnessing, don't go do things, just sit and pray, He tied my hands from giving purpose, doing things. He tied my hands because purpose is the love language to your natural soul. And when He tied my hands and took away my ability to do purposeful things in the name of God, I no longer could feed that unworthiness in my natural man. I couldn't feed it anymore. So now the natural man was begging me to give me something to give to God to make me feel valuable in God's eyes. Because that the natural man was left in darkness. My natural soul, part of my soul, was left in darkness with that big stronghold of being unworthy. And when God tied my hands and said, sit and don't do anything, just pray, I no longer was doing things for in the name of God. So I didn't come home every day with a bucket of good works. And when I took those bucket of good works and it was empty, the basket of good works was empty for a day or two, all of a sudden my unworthiness began to get hunger for purpose. Give me something. I need a basket of good works so I can offer it to God, because the natural man only understands God in the form of religion, that I give God something good, He gives me good back. If I do bad, He's bad to me. If I do good, He gives me good. See, that's religion. The natural part of your soul completely understands religion, completely accepts God way up in heaven and me a little ant, and I have to earn value so He will love me and accept me. Well, I did not know that for 35 years of my life, that unworthiness was the motivator for much of my doing good works. And when He stripped me during that season of doing things to earn God's love, to earn God's provision, this great fear would hit me every day. I mean, every day, this emotion of fear and defeat would just punish me over and over. I had horrible days of weeping and defeat. I mean, just, it's all, we're going to die. It's over. I failed. God, please, I begged Him, please let me get a job. I've worked since I've been 13. And He refused because He saw that I had built up my inner man enough that I could win a fight against that unworthiness. I did not know that stronghold was there. The giant He had me face was not a giant of poverty. It was a giant of unworthiness. And it was a stronghold in my natural man. And through the praying that I had done and all the years of worship and the word, my inner man had built up enough that I could receive as an heir God's provision instead of trying to constantly earn it through good works and giving good to receive kind of thing. And He tied my hands. I couldn't offer anything to that unworthiness. And I spent 2 years. The first year and a half was miserable until finally my inner man made my outward man, my inner part of my soul made my outward part of my soul bow its knee, the spiritual side of my soul, mind, emotions, and desires made the outward part of my soul, mind, emotions, and desires bow its knee to the truth that my God is my Father, and He is my provider, and I can receive it because I'm an heir. I can't earn it by good works. And see, all that time I had been doing good works in the name of God, but it was really to come home with a basket to give to my natural soul, part of my soul, to feed the hunger of unworthiness. See, the place that hunger for food comes from is the same place of the hunger to feed those strongholds come from. And many of us have lived our life serving that brokenness, those strongholds, and we feel good because, see, the reason why I was feeling depressed and discouraged and broken for a year and a half of and I'm following God, I'm obeying God, was because of the natural soul, the animal, the monkey on my back, the meathead, was angry with me because I wasn't bringing home baskets and I wasn't serving it by bringing home baskets of good works. Look how many people I witnessed to. Look how much money I gave. Look how who I shared to. Look who I prayed for. And I would give it to my natural soul and it would pour it into the brokenness of that stronghold of unworthiness. And now I felt worthy. My natural man felt worthy to go before God because look how good I've been, God. Look how well I've done. And that unworthiness was leading my life and I didn't know it. It was affecting my relationship. It was leading my relationship with God. But if you pray in tongues and the Holy Spirit will come and affirm that you are a child of God and build up the truth of knowledge and build up the love and joy and peace on the inside. And what happened was the inner man built up enough that God said, now you're ready to win. And it picked a fight with me and said, I want you to stop preaching and I want you to sit and pray and not work. And he didn't tell me it was going to be 2 years. I never would have done it. But every day it was horrible. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy, but I wouldn't change it for anything because it helped me to face a giant that I didn't even know was there, a stronghold. And where was it? In my natural man, the natural part of my soul. When he found I was ready to win, he picked a fight. I still had to fight. It wasn't a quick fix. Now, there'll be a day when the trumpet sounds that we are going to get a new body. We won't have any more of this fight. But that's the suffering. That's the groaning that he's talking about here. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed you suffer with him, that you may also be glorified with him. What's the suffering when God tells you to do something and your natural soul comes up with a solution, a better way of doing it that allows it to win? Where God tells you to do something, you are mortifying it, you're denying it, and it begins to complain. My natural soul punished me because of that stronghold of unworthiness. With emotions, chemical emotions running through my veins day and night. I would go to sleep and I'd get to sleep and then I'd have a thought of defeat about 2 a.m. It's all going to fail. You're going to lose your house. God won't provide for you. You're not good enough. You're not worthy. You haven't done enough. And that thought would just click about 2 a.m. and I'd be wide awake the rest of the morning, not able to do anything. Just sit there and either worry or pray, but I couldn't go back to sleep. And the natural part of my soul would punish me with those emotions. It would release those emotions of defeat. And it was trying to force me to give in and give it what it wants. Go back to the old life of purpose living. Because purpose is the love language of your natural soul. It's not the love language of your spiritual soul. The spiritual part of your soul. And so it was punishing me, trying to force me, convince me to give in and go the way that it wanted to. That stronghold was so strong. And eventually, I overcame it because I didn't give in to it. I was following God. And eventually, I mortified that unworthiness. I go to bed at night, no matter what the circumstance, and I have peace. I wake up in the morning, and I have peace, no matter what the circumstances, because I am a child of God. I'm an heir of God. I'm not worthy because of my works. I'm worthy. I'm worth God providing because I'm his child. That's why I'm worth the provision of God. That's mortification. You might call it inner healing, but it's really mortification. This here is talking about the battle you have between the inner man and the outward man, the inner part of your soul, the outward part of your soul. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. This here is the suffering is not talking about sickness, it's not talking about disease, it's talking about the battle you go through as you follow God and grow in God with your outward man. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. So just like when he told me to stop preaching and stop doing good works, it was like I obeyed him. I didn't willingly go into the fight, but I willingly followed him, and God happily put me in that fight, knowing it was going to be a fight, but knowing that I would win if I didn't quit. If I didn't quit, with the hope that I would emerge stronger and more walking in the spiritual man than the natural man, with the hope that I would find that stronghold and mortify it. I remember Gary Carpenter was preaching one day, and he talked about how he had had a vision, how he was walking through the wilderness, I hope I say this right, but he was walking in this vision. He was walking through kind of the desert wilderness, and he saw this stronghold, this castle, this wall, strong wall and buildings all made of brick and stone. And he looked, and in the vision, he could see through the wall, and there was people walking around in this stronghold, in this castle, and with the castle walls. And he's looking at them, and he's like, wow, this is interesting. And then one of the people on the other side of the wall stopped and looked through the wall and said, and he saw Gary. This is in the vision. And he started to warn, tell everyone and yell, he sees us. He sees us. Oh, no, he can see us. Watch out. And everyone stopped and went, got their, like, got into warfare mode. And Gary looked at him and saw, wow, that's interesting. He walked off, and the Lord taught him that that's a stronghold. That's what happens. That natural soul has a stronghold, and it builds in you. And the goal is not just to see it, but to destroy it. But it lives there happily. It'll run your whole life if you don't let the Holy Spirit build you up to let you see it, to confront it, and overcome it. Inner healing is a good word, but outward mortification is a better word. For I consider sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the redemption, the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into this glorious liberty of the children of God. So even the earth, all the earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars, that's kind of the same suffering that you go through within yourself, because there is a new earth that we're going to have. This earth will be burnt up. This universe will be folded up like a garment, and God's going to give us a new universe and a new earth for the children of God to live on for eternity, which will be completely righteous and holy and not corrupted at all. But in the time that the same way the earth has earthquakes and volcanoes and rumors of wars, within your own self, you're having battles because you were left with the outward body and the outward soul. And now you have to make it submit to who you really became and who you're becoming as you continue with God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Verse 23. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. So we're even waiting for this body to join into the adoption that happened when you were saved, that this body will be instantly quickened into light, into righteousness. We are groaning, we're eagerly waiting for that moment. I can't wait until the moment I don't have to fight the desires of this body and overcome this body. Too much of the church world has been taught how to go serve God and be busy for God, build his kingdom, instead of put on a pathway to overcome the natural soul, to mortify it. For we are saved in this hope. But hope is that is seen is not hope, for why does one still hope for what he sees? So even though you may be struggling with an area of brokenness, an area of defeat, an area of wrong desires, the hope is you're not forgotten. You're not cast away. The hope is if you keep on the right path, you'll overcome that. You won't have to deny it forever. You can actually mortify it, but you can't do it on your own. You can't mortify flesh with flesh. You need the help of the Holy Spirit with your spirit. And here's what that means here in the next few verses. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So we don't see it, but we trust the word of God is true, and we continue to press in. And eventually, all those little strongholds, God will take you on a tour with weapons to destroy them as your inner man grows. And the things that hound you, the fears, the failures, the defeat, the victimness, the pride, the arrogance, whatever it is that we are dealing with, and we're all dealing with stuff because we're all wearing natural bodies. Eventually, you will overcome all of them if you get on the right path. If you don't get on the path of transformation, you'll keep those things in your life. And praise God, if you're born again, you get to go to heaven. But God has so much more for us on this earth than just going to heaven. Likewise, the Spirit, here, this is the Holy Spirit. So likewise, verse 26, the Holy Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. So the Holy Spirit also helps with our weaknesses. For we do not know what we ought to pray, or what we should pray for what we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When you pray in tongues, and pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit feeds into your inner man, the inner part of your soul, truth, and builds up truth and love. Joy and peace begins. The fruit of the Spirit grows into your inner body, the inner man, the spiritual side of your soul. It builds up enough that eventually God will say, now I want here, over here in your natural man, in the natural part of your soul is a stronghold. You don't know it, you haven't seen it, but I'm going to pick a fight for you and you're going to obey me, and that stronghold is going to, you're going to discover, why am I miserable? Why am I unhappy? What's going on with me? Why am I defeated? Because he's going to stop you from feeding that stronghold, his demands. I demand this, just like your body at lunchtime. I demand food. And you say, no, I'm not going to feed you anymore. I demand food. Or no, I'm in charge. I'm going to tell you when to eat. Because you are not your body. You're wearing a body. The same place comes another voice. I demand good works so I can take it to God. I demand even sin to feel love. I demand... whatever it may be, that stronghold demands it, and will, like a spoiled child. You ever see a poor woman with her kid walking down the aisle, and they put all the candy at the grocery store at the kid's eye level, and the kid grabs like five chocolate bars, and the mom says, no, put them back. And the kid drops to the floor and pitches a fit. No, I'm going to cry and make such a scene until you break and give me what I want. As parents, you know, we feel for every mom that has to go through that because we've all gone through it. And some moms like, yeah, okay, take the candy. Just stop embarrassing. Leave me alone. Let me just get my shopping done. Or the mom says, you're going to get in trouble more if you don't do what I say. Well, see, that's your outward soul, that it'll pitch a fit like a crying baby and make a scene and make you embarrassed and miserable until you give it what it wants. And God will tell you, okay, now I want you not to give it what it wants. And then you're going to learn that you're in charge. And you have a right to mortify that brokenness, that stronghold, and be free from it. This is the power of transformation. I appreciate you so much. I appreciate you taking the time and learning with me and growing in this knowledge. It's a lost message in the church world today, and it's a pathway to where the body of Christ can walk around like Jesus in love and holiness and maturity. And it is that pathway which will usher in the power of God, not just through the pulpit, but through all the believers. Every believer can walk like Jesus did. I love you. God bless you. Thank you again for being with me.